Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, MD. Join Dr. Jewel here each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.net.
Well, greetings, and how are you? Well, welcome to the Dr. Jewel Show, and today we are going to talk about something that is extremely controversial and very necessary, and it's going to really change on us as we move deeper into the 21st century, and that is the quality of health that we're going to be experiencing. And so in that health, it's critical for us relative to the physical body. We have a wonderful opportunity to finally ensure worldwide that our health and our bodies can be taken care of. We've got a lot of work to do, but it can be done now since all major countries at this point appear to be offering a universal health care plan. Of course, here in America, we are dealing with what's known as Obamacare, formerly known as the Affordable Health Care Act. And everyone is scurrying who's interested in making sure that they have enrolled so that their new health care coverage will begin January 2014. Now, I was really prompted and stimulated to have a thorough discussion with you today about your health and your capacity to heal yourself. And where does the healthcare system come into your life to support you in sustaining your health? It's a very important discussion, and it was brought to my attention that a lot of people are not comprehending this at all. I heard a short portion of an interview where there was a newscaster on the street. He was in some city, and he was asking people, what did they think about Obamacare? And so first you would ask them, what do you think about the Affordable Health Care Act? Well, I don't know what that is. Well, this is the new health care plan that's available to you now. Oh, Obamacare. Well, I'm not interested, was the response, this one gentleman. And so he says, oh, no. He says, well, why not? He says, well, I don't like it. I don't think I want it. He says, who can afford to pay $700 a month for health care? Now, that statement alone was just incredibly incorrect, because obviously with so many people out of work, jobs have switched, people are working many more hours than usual for Americans, there could not even be a discussion about a health care plan that was going to charge an individual or a family $700 a month. So we right away were alerted that this gentleman was not aware of the health care plan at all. And he went on to make the statement, well, I don't think I'm interested. Nobody can afford to pay $700 a month, and therefore I'm not going to sign up. So I recognize that, you know, his comments were so incredulously, incredibly inaccurate that perhaps maybe there's a lot of other people that are walking around with this kind of misinformation. And definitely our listeners at TJN have the accurate updated info, and so therefore today you will receive it. So We're going to be talking about Obamacare, as it's been typically referred to, known as the Affordable Health Care Act. It is to become effective for all citizens who apply by January 1st, 2014, if we don't have any more computer glitches. So I want to talk about a little of the very interesting attitudes that individuals have projected around this healthcare plan, something that they definitely will benefit from, and how many of these comments do indicate the level of dis-ease that Americans are experiencing in their mental, emotional, and physical bodies, which is why initially this healthcare plan is very necessary to resolve and also to elevate the quality of health that we're going to need for the 21st century. But there's some work definitely that we have to do on this plan, and I'm going to discuss that with you. And as usual, we always have an antidote, because when we're in the middle of change, change requires us to always be self-sufficient, and we're going to give you some information that will allow you to be self-sufficient while the details are being worked out with this wonderful potential opportunity to stabilize the level of health in America. So you stay tuned. I'll be right back, and make sure you bring your notes and a pencil for you to get this information deep into the nervous system, visual, auditory, definitely kinesthetic. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jewel. OrganoGold provides fine coffee, green tea, and hot chocolate products blended with the remarkable mushroom known as Ganoderma, referred to by the Cantonese as Ling Shi, the herb of spiritual potency. Ganoderma improves the immune system, increases metabolism, eliminates toxins and free radicals, as well as provides energy and vitality. OrganoGold products are a delicious solution that can help ensure that your health and energy balance is one prepared for a lifestyle of longevity. Click the banner on thejewelnetwork.net or send an email to goldcoffeeforlife@gmail.com and get yours today.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life, less stressed? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? If so, what you need is access to the 90% of your brain that most of us don't even use. All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program is a revolutionary program utilizing sacred geometry to connect the logical left and creative right sides of the brain to work with what we call whole brain functionality. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. Act now to start on this life-changing program and become the person you always wanted to be. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net. What are you waiting for? Make the move now.
Well, greetings. If you just tuned in, you're here right on time. We're talking
from
about
Jewel,
something
public.
Very important. We're talking about something very important today, and that is your health relative to the health care plan that's now available for you, first time in America in the 21st century. Commonly it's called the Obamacare plan, and formerly it's known as the Affordable Health Care Act. Now, let's just talk about this a little bit, because as I said earlier, we had some individuals who were on the international news commenting on the fact that they weren't really interested in this act, even though they didn't have health care, but they were operating under complete misinformation. And so, therefore, it's important that our listeners, TJN, have the real ends and the science on what's really going on here. And so we want you to be aware of that. And so let's take a look and see what's really going on here. Very important. Now, this plan, as you know, has a very long history developing through the federal government. And I want you to really listen to me now very carefully about this, because there's been a lot of criticism directed toward the Obamacare healthcare plan because of computer failures, computer glitches, just a lot of things. And the criticism is not valid to the extent that it was given because, again, this is the first time anything like this has been launched in America. We have been working with this literally since 2006. It was finally introduced to the public in 2008 by Hillary Clinton. And, of course, a lot of things happened, modifications and all kinds of legislation, et cetera. And at that time, it was poo-pooed because a female happened to be the one to think about this and offer it to the world. So in that, we even had gender issues associated with this health care plan. But again, the amount of criticism regarding that factor and a lot of other things when health in America was failing tremendously and many, many children, many adults, seriously ill, many of them died because of lack of health care, was never criticized relative to the government and the establishment at all. Now the government, your government, has delivered to you, and the criticism is just amazing. Perhaps many of our present citizens have not read the history of America, do not understand all of the changes and many what appeared to be errors, et cetera, that were made before we could even get and settle upon just one constitution. So this degree of intolerance and just almost vitriolic criticism has been amazing towards something that finally has been created toward you and your family. So now, of course, there's been a lot of innuendos that because the president is melanin dominant, that this, again, is a retaliation because there's a lot of discomfort with individuals who are melanin recessive that have never perceived that anyone who was melanin dominant could have this position of power and influence in their lives. I just thought that that was an incredible, unhealthy reaction for something that has no foundation. But why am I saying that? Well, of course, we know that it was literally pigmented people that built America. We have pheomelanated individuals, Chinese, laid down the railroad system. We have the Native American Indians. Once their land literally was taken away from them, and oh my goodness, the stories on how that was done under the guise of melanin recessive individuals is something that I hope that no human being would ever, ever think about waging toward another human being, regardless of the skin color, their hair color, and eye color. And so obviously slavery was a huge product in America that allowed it to be financially stable to even rise to the occasion that and to the level of influence that it has at this time. So for individuals now to still want to voice that they have a resentment about a melanated person having this level of power and influence is a person who was extremely unaware of the history of this country, because the country was built on the labor of pheomelanated as well as melanated people. Even the White House was built by melanin-dominant individuals, and not until President Obama was elected had any melanin-dominant individual had the rights and the pleasure of living in a house that was built by their own kindred. There was no complaints about that, but there was no enraged attitudes about that, etc. But now when the descendant of the architect and the craftsman that built the White House finally is able to benefit from their own kindred, it's a problem. This shows incredible, incredible lack of knowledge, and it shows a very limited access to their own brain and neural circuitry. Because when you look at the history and you look at what's happened, I mean, these kind of attitudes are not founded at all with any kind of facts or even a reflection of a stable emotional body. So here we are now with the opportunity first offered to us by the First Lady Hillary Clinton. It was rejected and shot down because of her gender. Can't imagine that when no one comes to this planet unless they are born through a vagina. And so even the clones that we have that are present with us now, still the original vessel where those cells multiplied and were able to differentiate into the template of a physical body, that container still functions exactly like a uterus. There's no way you can get around it. You are going to come through a vessel that concentrates the magnetic force of life, that it has to happen for you to be able to have cells that will coalesce and work as a unified unit. So the uterus, which concentrates the magnetic field of the electromagnetic spectrum, is necessary for you to have a physical body, and that will not change. So this whole idea that we have people that are still walking around with attitudes against magnetism, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about the feminine, is an indication that we have to do mass exposure and education to these individuals before we get too much further into the 21st century. Now, 2008, it was rejected because of gender issues and a lot of undercover stuff. Finally, it was brought back to us, refined, and introduced as the Affordable Health Care Act, and now it's been renamed for the general public as Obamacare, a beneficial plan for many, many people who do not have adequate insurance for the chronic health issues that they are experiencing. So please write these facts down so that if you happen to be interviewed in public, on the street, or in conversation, you will have your basic data available that perhaps you can enlighten some other people in that discussion, or present yourself literally as a very evolved, intelligent human being, literally a god, in public. So the Affordable Health Care for America Act in Congress and in the House of Representatives, it's known as H.R. 3962. And this was a bill that was crafted by the United States House of Representatives. And as it was passed on from Hillary Clinton in 2008, the House of Representatives took it on in November 2009. It never became law as an original draft, and therefore, at the encouragement of the Obama administration, the 111th Congress, okay, devoted much of its time to enacting the reform of the United States health care system. And so this bill, originally known as H.R. 3962, was then known as the House Bill, H.R. 3962, from the House of Representatives. Okay? Now, on December 24, 2009, the Senate passed an alternative health care bill, which is known as the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which is also known as H.R. 3590. And that was abandoned in 2010, and they reformed the bill and a reconciliation process, was undergone by the bill, and so now in 2010 we had something known as the Health Care and Education Reconciliation Act of 2010. Now I'm reading all this to you because I do want you to understand how much preparation, how things had to shift, how things were deleted, how things were added, the groups of people that literally this bill passed through to make it available for you today. To have this kind of reaction about the fact that the website doesn't work or it's shut down on me or I can't get on or whatever is nothing compared to the amount of intellectual, emotional, and physical energy that went into making this available to you. You understand that this bill went through a lot of error, a lot of transformation, a lot of correction, deletions, additions to serve all of the different needs of so many different groups of people. Now, when I say different groups of people, because I want you to be very clear about what I'm saying when I say that, we're talking about culture of how people live, how they think, et cetera, which does what? It makes their bodies function differently. And so, therefore, just the language issues of how we have to basically introduce the bill into that community, the special health needs of these communities. Some people have many, many problems with hypertension and diabetes in certain cultures as opposed to neurologic disorders in others. Those are the main things that had to be focused on and looked at to be covered. So I tell you, it's very interesting, a lot of the fine-tuning that had to go on. They had to look at medical history and how patients, or should we say citizens, could not have coverage refused because of their medical history. We have many, many people who have incredible medical history. I mean, mounds and mounds, thousands of sheets of paper of all the things that have been done to them, et cetera. Also, too, they had to make sure that no gender issues were a problem. They also had to make sure that the insurance companies could not be exempted from accepting this. And definitely they had to look at the antitrust laws as well, okay? They had to make sure that there were minimal standards for qualified health benefit plans available. And also, too, they had to ensure that the employers of the citizens of this country could be supported in making sure that this coverage was available to them. Of course, the really big issue about abortions and how the supposed restrictions or the use of this plan could be used for that. And I tell you, that is a couple shows in itself because this this subject needs so much information downloaded to the general public about the anatomy and physiology, the mental and emotional, as well as the physical attributes around this activity, this experience, this phenomena in our lives. It's very, very important. And then, of course, we've got Medicaid, and we've got the federal poverty level with their social welfare system, subsidiaries that help to be a part of insuring the Americans in the insurance company, as well as a central insurance exchange, a health insurance exchange, had to be created so that policies and rates that were already in place, et cetera, could be advisors to the individuals finally selecting these final mandates and dictates. Taxation issues regarding medical devices, surtaxes relative to the amounts of income, et cetera. Something known as a tax equity for domestic partners and health plan benefits, which, as you know, was a really big thing about if you're married to another woman or married to another man, if you're a man or a woman, et cetera, could that even be looked at as a spouse or a family partner that would have rights to utilizing your health care benefits. All of these things had to be dealt with to allow this plan to even be available to you. And therefore, for the public to have a breakdown about a computer glitch was amazing to me. It really showed the level of emotional instability that Americans are exhibiting right now. Now, this is very important to understand because all disease originates from the mental body, or what people walk around referring to as their mind. And so once the mind literally has destabilized and the person finds themselves uncomfortable, disgruntled, in tremendous judgment, criticism, etc., then the neurotransmitters made by the brain, because it's the mental body, the brain, and then we have your emotional body, which is the energetic effect emanated from the cells of the body because of the quality of action and reaction the cells are experiencing from the types of neurotransmitters made from the thoughts flowing through the mind body. So when people are highly emotional, etc., we know that the thoughts that the brain is processing are quite toxic to the tissues. That's what you're seeing. Anger is a toxic reaction. Resentment is a toxic reaction. Jealousy, lack, all of these things are toxic reactions that give the sensations through the tissues of the body that you call emotion because of the neurotransmitters made by the frequency of thought that are literally being circulated through the energy body known as the mental body. I want to share this information with you because I want you to be very clear and aware of the fact that because we have so many Americans that are unhealthy mentally and emotionally, definitely there needs to be a ubiquitous healthcare system throughout America to support the many millions and millions of people who really do need some type of medical attention. Now, again, we're not getting much education here on the neurobiology, the neurophysiology of cells. The information is available without question, but it's not being disseminated to the general public, and it's critical that such has to be done. Now, the good news that I'm excited about is the fact that while the glitches are being worked through in regards to getting most Americans signed up for the Affordable Health Care Plan Act that's going to be effective hopefully by January 1st, you must also learn how to help yourself. Now, why is that? Well, one of the things that I was concerned about when First Lady Hillary Clinton was introducing her bill to the general public, as much work as she had done on it, the details, et cetera, I thought was just incredible. However, she never requested that the health care providers and their institutions come forth and demonstrate that they are healthy enough to take care of the general public. And this is still a huge question and a shadow that is hanging over the health care of America today. It's wonderful to offer the health care plan. It's wonderful to make the legislation where everyone is available. But now what's going to happen when all these people who initially had been eliminated from having access to a system that was already stressed, and now we have doubled, tripled, quadrupled the amount of individuals who will now have access to a failing healthcare system, what is going to be the next saga that Americans are going to experience? Because we have not been straightforward and honest about looking at our healthcare system and allowing that system to be able to share its vulnerabilities, its literal weaknesses with the general public, and put our heads together to resolve these areas. All of this, much of it has been kept under wraps and secret, and so now this is going to literally burst wide open with the advent of all of these new patients that are going to be coming to the healthcare system asking for help. Now, it's not difficult to confirm the statement I just made. All you have to do is go to any hospital, a major healthcare system, and talk to the workers. They will tell you that they are doing more work than they've ever had to do before in the history of these hospital systems. They have less staff, doctors, nurses, lab technicians, respiratory therapists. There are less of them and more patients already. So they're very overworked. The shifts that these workers have been asked to comply to are very unhealthy to the body. The hours of the emergency room physician, the hours of the surgeons, the hours of the nurses now. Many nurses work 12, 15-hour shifts, and then after 8 hours have to come back and do another 15-hour shift. And so, therefore, they go home for 2 days or so, and then they have to come back that shift again. That is totally contrary to the circadian rhythm of how the brain and the nervous system and the vital, mandatory functions of the cells of the human body function. So we have a real big issue in the actual healthcare system itself, where we have the workers complying to work hours and conditions that are not compatible with the health of human tissue. So if the healthcare providers themselves are stressed and are being highly stimulated to work under unnatural conditions, of course, their health has declined. Now, many of you may think that it's humorous, but I found it extremely revealing and extremely important that we have to look at what the entertainment industry has put before your face as entertainment. Nurse Jackie is very real and really depicts the life of millions of nurses in America. So there's supposedly moral issues that this person has to deal with. They have to deal with religious issues. They've got to deal with their own abusive behavior. Nurse Jackie, for those of you who are aware, this was a series that was put out, I think, by either Stars or one of the other cable channels, and it had quite a long series about a nurse who was addicted to pharmaceutical drugs. So her normal procedures when she dropped her kids off at school and drove to the hospital was to make sure that she went in her locker and took her fix, used oral synthetic drugs along with a cup of coffee to get herself stabilized and able to take all of the complaints and give the services and everything else she had to deal with. And so to sustain her drug habit, she had an extramarital, or she sustained and maintained an extramarital affair with the head pharmacist so that the medicines that she wanted, the pharmaceutical drugs, would not be enrolled into the pharmaceutical laws of the hospital. Oh, it just goes on and on about the decadence that is going on. This lady is married to a gentleman who owns a bar, and they have two very nice children. So these are all of the contradictions that she's got to medicate and be able to work through on a daily basis while she listens to everyone else's problems, including the other doctors and nurses. So Hawthorne, that was also one of the commercials, they're all demonstrating the pathology that goes on in the intercommunity of healthcare providers in the hospitals and major clinics. And I'm just shocked that no one in the general public who's looking at this form of entertainment doesn't recognize that this can't all be fantasy and that a lot of this is real, and what are we going to do? Because if my doctor is addicted, or if my doctor is having emotional and mental problems because he's going through a divorce or whatever the situation is, what does that mean about my health care? So America's not getting it here. You, as a citizen, you're not getting it. You cannot continuously stress the foundations that provide information, education, and health care for you and think that you are going to continuously grow and evolve in a healthy, functional manner. It cannot. Your teachers are stressed. So they're not being paid enough money. Therefore, we're getting all kinds of individuals into the institution of education, and we're seeing that all kinds of things are happening to your children other than them being educated. But this is a collective problem that we as Americans have contributed to because we didn't focus on it and we didn't value the fact that those individuals have to be high quality, they have to be healthy, they have to be focused on making sure that the information we collectively agree on is presented to the children so that they can literally move through their life. We did not do that, so we just said, okay, well, let the institution take care of it, whoever they put in it, and it's all backfired to the extent that the children are even being killed in the institution. All of us as Americans have to take responsibility to that. The hospital system, it is not going to be able to service you until you recognize that your doctors cannot come to work stressed, feeling underpaid, overworked, problems in the home, health care problems themselves. Have you ever thought about the fact how unreasonable that is, that a doctor who has told you that you should have surgery, you should take this medication, you should have this type of therapy, would literally die on you? You haven't thought about the fact that if you can come back and report that your doctor has literally died on you, what does that say about the quality of health care that he or she potentially has rendered? How long were they ill before they died? Did their illness affect their judgment? And we know that it does. That's one of the indications that we know a person is ill. I've had patients come to me and tell me, oh, you know, I heard that you're a very good doctor, and, you know, my doctor died, and so, you know, I worked with him for 25 years, and he died, and so, you know, I thought that you would be a good person to follow through with my present level of health. And so maybe have you thought about the fact that maybe I'm a diabetic here going on my 5th, 6th, 8th, 10th, 15th year of diabetes? Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe it's because the doctor that is caring for you is so stressed out, et cetera, there may be little points or big points that are not being taken into consideration to bring an end to this situation? Now, when I was at the height of my practice, there's a huge hiatus of decisions that had to be made relative to the previous standard of care and the new information that was available to us as doctors. When I was still practicing diabetics, we're told that there's no cure for diabetes, and you just might as well get used to the fact that you're going to be on insulin the rest of your life, and yes, eventually you're going to lose your kidney function, your vision. Yes, you may be in store for amputation of the toes and maybe the foot and the leg, and it just moves on up, and then eventually, of course, you're going to have coronary artery disease, and then finally, usually in stage kidney or in stage massive infection takes you out because the immune system has also been totally destroyed. This was the life of the diabetics when I was in med school and in practice. But voila, we found out that definitely diabetes primarily is a disease from chronic mineral deficiency. Can you believe that? That is why right now you can go into the natural food store and buy something known as glucose tolerance factor, GTF. Why? Because when enough chromium is in the system, guess what? The cells are able to handle their glucose load. In regular terms, that means that the amount of sugar that's in the bloodstream, the cells are able to allow it into the system and metabolize it so that the sugar doesn't continuously circulate in the bloodstream and eventually traumatize the tissues. It is in the bloodstream as an energy source for the cells to use, but in diabetes, the cells are not able to absorb it and to allow it to go into the cells. Why? Because a certain hormone has to be present and active, and that hormone is known as insulin. So glucose tolerance factor or chromium is necessary for proactive insulin. And when the chromium is there, the cell will recognize the insulin, which then allows the cell to absorb the glucose, and then it can metabolize it as a source of energy. So even to this day, we have many individuals who don't recognize and have not been prescribed diets that are high in chromium if the chromium itself has not been prescribed for you. So this is why alternative medicine has grown voluminously and is very much a competitor with traditional, conventional medicine. And you have to ask yourself the question, why would this be a competitor when obviously it won't? The last time I checked statistics, over $16 billion a year is made in alternative medicine just in the dispensing of vitamins, minerals, and, quote, whole food products. Amazing. And so I'm asking you as a citizen and an individual who is going to start using the Obamacare plan, why won't you require that you have access to whole alternative medical practices? Because many things that conventional medicine does, it's very important. If you're run over, you have a tremendous fall or trauma, I tell you, the herbs and the vitamins, they're not going to work. You having a compound fracture or multiple gunshot wounds or stabs to the body, et cetera. No, you've got to have the intervention right away. And the hospitals are wonderful for that. But in the management of chronic disorders, this is where conventional medicine doesn't do too well. And the chronicity of so many of these diseases is due to mineral and vitamin deficiencies, as well as to states of consciousness in the mental body that have not been addressed. Therefore, creating very, very toxic neurotransmitters from the brain, because the brain is what processes the frequencies of thought in the mental body, that are totally toxic to the cell. So if you're hearing me correctly, and this is what I'm saying, is that your thoughts that are not wholesome and that are not in the best interest of your tissues, because the tissues know already how to take care of themselves. They are immortal. They are perpetual. But when information in the form of chemistry is sent to them that's contrary to their own truth, that is seen by the cells as a poison. And when you continuously do that, the cells are literally killed by your own thoughts. So, you know, you can find truth anywhere. And I think it's so interesting. In Godfather 3, the cardinal that offered confession to the Godfather in the Garden of the Vatican, he made a statement to him when he saw him literally have a diabetic reaction. He said to him, oh, he says, when the mind suffers, the body cries out. And that is a very succinct description of what is literally happening to many, many, many of the citizens of the United States of America. The mind is suffering. And, of course, my colleague, in the field of psychiatry are trying to raise to the occasion, but they're only looking in one direction, and that is with the use of more drugs. I saw a documentary just lately where they were even pulling out of the old drawers, literally, drawers and file cabinets, shock therapy equipment, because they want to begin to start using shock therapy again because of the magnitude of the amount of depressed individuals that are now coming into the hospital system, and many of these drugs aren't working. So they want to actually start using shock therapy again. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we don't have time to go backwards. We saw the effects of what shock therapy did, and that is not the issue. So how are we going to tolerate this fluctuation and literal confusion that's happening really in conventional medicine with the advent of our new insurance capability? Well, this is something that you're going to have to make a decision about, but again, DJN is devoted to bringing you the science of life, so we're going to offer you an antidote. So I'll be right back after this message from our sponsor, and let's look at the antidote that you seriously must consider employing until these huge glitches in the actual hospital system are worked out. What's happening in the computer system is minor. We've got bigger, bigger issues here that must be worked out, and that must be done right now in the first portion of the 21st century. And while they're being worked out, guess what? You don't have to fall between the cracks. You can help yourself. I'll be right back after this.
Do you love what you hear on TJN? Visit thejewelnetwork.net and sign up for our new membership. For full access to our show archives in their entirety and more, visit www.thejewelnetwork.net for science at its finest. Thanks for listening.
Okay, now let's look at some antidotes here that we have available to us. And guess what? You know, this is such a time for change. It's wonderful. And the antidotes are coming very succinctly. Everything is all packaged together. And you are going to love this. Now, there's a cute little video that I came across. And I want you to take a look at that. So that will be available up on our Facebook page for you to access. That teaches you very succinctly some quantum physics. Okay, it's quantum physics. I just love you. You have just stood your ground, and you are going to be a huge support system in helping humanity make the leap as to how they, as an energy being, are going to be able to make changes in everything we think upon and everything we do and touch. It's wonderful. So from a quantum physical perspective, this cute little character, so cute, is going to tell you about how your thoughts work and how they literally affect space, time, and most of all, your physical tissues. So you visit us on our Facebook page, and at our website, you can access our Facebook page and you download that link and take a look at this video. Beauty. Now, the next thing for an antidote for you, so first of all, you've got to learn about your thoughts, learn about the mental body, and then start implementing a plan to control them. Okay, people are letting all kinds of thoughts go through their mind that is processed by the brain that then literally determines the quality of the blood, and then now that becomes directive for the cells of your body. The body is catching little hating hell because of this inappropriate chemistry constantly bombarding its inner content. the intracellular space. You can control that. Okay, you can do that. You don't have to take a pill. You don't have to go anywhere and have somebody tell you. You can do this when you understand how you have literally been created. When you understand better the anatomy of what it is to have a human body. We have energy bodies as well as a physical body. And at the advent of the 21st century, you will learn how to work with your energy body. It's a must, because we have reached a hiatus of incompetence in understanding more about the bigger, more vast aspect of what being a human is about. You've got to get with that. So this little video helps you tremendously with that. And I ran across a wonderful tweet. A colleague of mine, Miss Lisa Rankin, has written a wonderful book. And her book is very similar to what I've lived and had a wonderful opportunity to experience. That is, that I can heal myself. And so she has taken upon herself to have that same experience, and she's now actually pulled together the scientific documented proof that you can heal yourself. The name of the book, Mind Over Medicine, subtitle, Scientific Proof That You Can Heal Yourself, Dr. Lisa Rankin. You thought Lisa interesting. That's what she has to say. And now what's so cute about this is that she has pulled together all the data to substantiate the process that she went through to bring health back into her own body. Now, she's a medical doctor. I'm a medical doctor. We both had to study anatomy and physiology. We had to deal with surgery and all of the other subspecialties. We had to go through all of this. And, of course, we weren't told that we could heal ourselves. Not at all. We were told that we would need drugs or surgery or some type of external treatment, et cetera. But not that by changing our thinking, would we change the quality of our blood, that would change literally the quality of the function of our cells, that would allow them to return to their normal function if we thought in a way that was consistent with the truth that the cells know already. Amazing. Our cells are immortal. They know this. And they have to fight every day with the neurochemistry and with a toxic bloodstream of an individual who only thinks about death. It's very poisonous to the tissues to think about death, because death is not a natural phenomenon for the cells. The cells are about continuously regeneration and perpetual metabolic activities to sustain the organs and the tissues that make the whole organism known as the physical body functional. This is very important. So she has some really very vital, important chapters in her book, Believe Self Well. This is incredible, because to do this creates particular frequencies, wavelengths of energy in the mind that, when transmitted to the brain, create incredible qualities of neurotransmitters. The neurons are responsible to translate your thoughts into the chemical analog that the cells can understand. And so when those thoughts are appropriate, et cetera, the neurons can translate that into precise chemistry that the cells understand and act appropriately upon. When you are entertaining thoughts that are totally contrary to the life of any cell in the body, even the neurons of the brain react. Now, I'm going to be one of the first people to make this statement. Are chronic senile dementia, as well as Alzheimer's, yes, it does have environmental factors associated with it, chronic dehydration, chronic ingestion of neurotoxic stimuli, chemicals, etc. But most of all, these neurons have been totally beaten down and intensely damaged by thought. Thoughts that these neurons had to process for decades and decades and decades. And just the idea that they had to make these toxic neurotransmitters that were released into the blood so that the cells would basically continuously receive misinformation just burns the neurons out. And it would make sense to me that the body would say, look, we need to really turn against this brain because this brain is continuously sending us information that is killing us. So if we shut down these brain cells, then the amount of neurotransmitters that are inappropriate and erroneous is going to decrease, and therefore perhaps we can just get by. But you have to know now that the cells can live on their own. They have their own little brain. The membrane of the cell is the brain, and we anatomically can prove that. Of course, nobody told you that, but I'm telling you now, that's true. It's not the nucleus of the cell with the DNA. That's a library. It is the membrane of the cell. And so, therefore, the membranes of the cell, we can't take it. Now, she's gone on to talk about how to treat your mind, and she's also going on to talk about how you can write a prescription for yourself. And just thinking about your prescription creates neurotransmitters in your brain that begin to launch your healing. Exciting. So, boy, I tell you, this kind of information gets so exciting. And it appears that the time flies. So I want you to check our Facebook out. Check out the little video. Please invest in Dr. Mankin's book, Mind Over Medicine, by Lisa Rankin, MD. Study her book intensely because while our healthcare system is working out the kinks, it's got to figure out how not to overwork the workers any longer. Our nurses, they need support. Our doctors, they need support. Our lab technicians, they need support. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to provide high-quality health care for you, even though you have insurance. Insurance is just one step in our healing to learn how to start taking care of our bodies collectively as Americans. The healthcare system has to be high quality. And we've got to support our nurses, our doctors, our other service providers in being healthy. So, with that said, I'm going to say goodnight to you. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget Music for the Mind of a Scientist tomorrow, and I'll be back on Monday, the Dr. Jewel Balancing Show. If no one's told you this today, I love you very much. Talk to you on Monday. Bye-bye.
www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.
And also send it to your little grandson.